Had his mother not prayed for a child? It's very interesting. Had a barren woman wanted a child? God's greatest prophets rises up. God does funny things. He takes those things that look impossible, and he worked, and he already knew it from the beginning. Scripture says that God sees the end from the beginning. He knows exactly how it's shaking out. He knows exactly what you're going to do. It's funny how he knows exactly what you're going to do. Yet he loves you anyway. He already has designed a plan for you. Amen? He's designed a plan for you. He loves you. He's already set in place a plan and a caveat to catch you and to love you and to minister to you and to use you in the place where you will be used, in the place where he's going to choose to call his name and to place his name. So you can be thankful that God knows the end from the beginning. And you're thinking, well, you'd think he'd plan better. And you're looking at your problems and you're looking at your life and you say, well, couldn't God have planned better? He said, well, not allow you to make the choices you make. Well, why didn't he stop me? Well, he's just going to give you the word of the Lord and he's going to give you freedom to obey. See, God doesn't make you do anything. God's not like some of these religions that make you do stuff. Amen? If you want to drive off the cliff, well, sometimes he'll let you do it. Sometimes he'll stop you. Sometimes he'll let you do that. God loves you. But he also loves you enough to give you a choice and give you freedom to make a choice for Jesus. Or not. We are called by the gospel to come into the presence of the Lord, to come into the kingdom of heaven. God, this world, as I've talked about recently to you, this world is a very tiny portion of eternity. This, what we call time, is a very tiny portion of eternity. It is finite, it is limited, and it is the only time that the gospel is being preached. And it's the only time that you're being preached to and allowed to hear the gospel of Christ. So that the reason you're still here as a believer is to be a demonstration of the gospel. Amen? That's the reason you're here. And this story here with Hannah is a very interesting story because it's a story about living and a story about life. And, you know, how many of you have got that? You're just living in life. I know you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you're full of Jesus, but here in this planet, in this city, we've got living going on. Anybody doing any of that? Anybody wake up this morning? Anybody, the toaster didn't work? Anybody, your clothes weren't quite right? Anybody, you out of eggs? Or anybody, you were just out of something or something didn't quite flow quite right? And then you remember yesterday. And you forgot to get it. And you realized it yesterday, but you forgot to go get them for today. And then you, just every day's got something new, doesn't it? Every day's got something that just seems to go strange. Something seems to go haywire. We have a life here, in this life that God allows us to live. But there is one thing that takes the precedence is His presence. And His presence is all the time available to you. So no matter what difficulty or what purpose, what thing happens to you in the midst of your daily existence, the kingdom of heaven is parallel, walking right with you. Is that you have a God who loves you and walks with you and keeps you, even though you have a human flesh life that seems to go bonkers. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Huh? It's like, okay, tell me something I don't know. All right? And that's what these people here have. You know, these people have a life that's based on this world. And let's read about it. Let's read a little bit about it. Now, that guy's a good preacher. Quit, hey, you guys back there behind him, quit stirring him up. I know y'all back there just doing this, you know. Hey, little kid. Now, there was a certain man, a Ramathaim Zophim, how'd you like that, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. Now that guy Elihu, while I'm reading this, I'm wondering, well, I wonder if that's Job's friend Elihu. You know, you remember him? He was the young upstart in Job. And now I think this guy may be one of his descendants, though, because I think Job actually was written somewhere after Adam, very, very early. At any rate, so we have here this Elkanah. And here Elkanah had two wives. Well, wait a minute. Well, of course, you know Solomon had like, what, 700? And David had several. You'd think Solomon would learn from David that multi-wife thing was a kind of a misnomer. Wasn't all it was cracked up to be, you know, and he decided he'd, you know, go for 700. I think David had three or four by the time it was all over. And we look at that. Now, how many know God made, when God made Adam, who did he make with him? What's her name? What? Huh? Y'all want me to tell you everything? What's her name? Y'all read your Bible? Y'all go to Sunday school? Eve. And what was the other woman that God made for Adam? Huh? There wasn't another one? You sure? Well, let's go back and read it. Maybe we missed something. Okay, no, he made a help meet for him. And of course, as you've all heard the preacher story, that he made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. So we have two things we know for sure. Is God made a man and a woman. He made one man and one woman. So here we have Elkanah. And Elkanah has two wives. What does that tell you about Elkanah? Now, that seemed to be a popular thing in the world, to have two wives. You'll remember a guy named Abraham and this woman he was married to. You know, he was determined to have that baby. God promised him, so he was determined to do that. So he was all fretting over it, and Sarah came up with this brilliant idea, told him to marry some young chick, you know, have another wife. Well, you know what? That turned into a problem, didn't it? And as we're going to read along, I think you'll find that, and I think there's some TV show on these days that kind of is drama. You find the drama in it. Some guys have got four or five wives, and it's a reality show. And you see all kinds of reality going on in that show. And it's fun to watch. I've never watched it. But it's fun to watch because people in their reality are actually pretty humorous. It's sad, but it's humorous. Because it's very interesting to see what kind of things people get themselves into. That's why they call it reality TV. to give you a break from your own. You know, so you can laugh or feel sorry for somebody else and get your mind off your own issues, your own problems. So we have a reality show going on here with this Elkanah. And he had two wives, and the name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. Now, I find it interesting that this story, we usually pay a lot of attention to Hannah, and, you know, and you know, God miraculously giving her a baby, you know. But I just think it's interesting to just see somebody's life. And if you're a mother, how many know you've got a life? And you've got kids, and you've got a husband, and you got, it's like I was talking about earlier. You have God in you, and you have God with you, but you also got some other people with you. You got your husband. You got your bills. You got groceries. You got living in this world, living in this life. And you're dealing with it from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed. What I want you to do in listening to this story is to follow how Hannah is encouraged to hope in God in every area of her life. And that there is nothing that you're going to experience that God cannot touch and give you peace and rest, joy unspeakable. Not because of or in spite of your problems or the problems that exist, but because you know that there is a God in heaven who loves you and walks with you every moment of every day. There is nothing that shall by any means hurt you, because we're walking with Him. Now, what if you had a car wreck? Well, that seemed to hurt you. Yeah, but that's flesh. Well, brother, you're just kind of mincing words. No. The fact is that hurting you on the outside or hurting you in body, you can still have rest and peace, joy, thankfulness in daily living. Because you know the living God. Because He is in you, He speaks to you, He declares Himself to you. You have a relationship with a heavenly Father who lives in spirit and is in communication and fellowship with your spirit. Your life is not about the number of things that you endure, but it's about the fellowship with whom He has created, you have with your Creator. Your life in this world is primarily designed to be around the fellowship with your Creator. The enemy has desired that you have your focus and your mindset on everything and how it works or doesn't work. The Father comes to you and says, "I love you. Hear me. Listen to me." So Elkanah had these two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children. Oh, she was just blessed. But Hannah had no children. And this man, Elkanah, went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, remember Eli the priest there in that hour, in that day, Hophni and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Now, I don't know if you remember those two kids. Those two kids were bad news. And they were the priests of the Lord there in Shiloh. And when the time was that Elkanah offered his sacrifices, he gave to Peninnah, when they would come into sacrifice, they would come and be part of the feasting there in the city in Shiloh, to where the sacrifices were made. This is before the temples were built in Jerusalem. So in Shiloh is where the Lord had his place set up, tabernacle set up, to receive sacrifices to the Lord according to the law. And so they came up, and when they had sacrificed, they would stay around for the feasting. There's a great feast like we're going to have on the third, big feast of Agape feast, and a feast to meet together and celebrate the goodness of the Lord. And so he gave to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters portions. He served them well, served them their portions. And when, but to Hannah, he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. He was doing his very best to comfort her and to bless her in her problem, her barrenness. He gave Hannah the best he could and the most he could to. So even in the midst of this two-wife thing going on, of course, I'm sure it's a plenty. It was plenty of drama, and we're going to find out more about it here in a minute. And as he did so, that is Elkanah, as he did this year by year, when he when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, and therefore she wept and did not eat. So Peninnah was busy provoking Hannah, taunting her because of her lack of children. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine any women doing that to each other? Sisters kind of picking on each other. Can you imagine that, Sadie? Can you imagine sisters picking on each other? Doesn't ever happen, does it? It does? Oh, man, it's terrible. Janet, did that ever happen to you? Sister ever pick on you? Grace and Esther, they go, well, I'm going to bring them up. They're sitting here. Of course, Sadie's sitting here. Sadie's mature, though. She's beyond all that. Right? You don't pick on your sisters. But maybe. Okay. Anybody, any other girls in here? You know? Now, let's see here. Some of you had brothers and they picked on you. My sister picked on me. And I'm figuring that, you know, I'm looking at Charlene and Jamie. I'm sure they picked on their brothers because, you know, yeah. Yeah, I know Jamie did. Yeah. So you can see all this kind of thing going on. I can understand it for sure. So people just, they pick on each other. Then Elkanah said to her husband, Hannah, why do you weep? Why are you upset? Why do you not eat? Men just can't understand this kind of stuff. You just like, come on, buck up. You got food, eat. You know? Yeah, I mean, men, all you need is just something to eat. You're fine. You know, it's okay after that. And girls, it just doesn't help quite as much, I don't guess. Why do you weep and why do you eat not? And why is your heart grieved? Well, men ask all kinds of stupid questions. You know? Isn't it good to have a husband who knows how to comfort you properly? What's the matter? Perk up, honey. Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Oh, gosh. I tell Janet that all the time. She didn't buy it. So Hannah rose up after they'd eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk iced tea. Now, Eli the priest sat upon a post of the temple of the Lord. Now, he's pretty ancient by now. He's getting pretty up there. And Hannah, she was in bitterness of soul, and she rose up and went into the temple area and prayed to the Lord. This isn't the temple that you're thinking of. It's not the temple that Solomon built. It's a temple probably kind of like this one. It's what I call the temple tabernacle in the wilderness, this building here. You know, looks okay on the inside, but the outside's covered in beaver skin. it's not too attractive on the outside. So Hannah goes in. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept sore. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid and remember me and forget not your handmaid, but will give to your handmaid a man-child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. So she'll give him as a Nazarite, as a one who serves the Lord all of his life. And it came to pass, as she continued praying to the before the Lord, that Eli noticed her mouth. Now Hannah, she spoke in her heart only, and only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. So therefore Eli, man of God that he is, thought she was drunk. Just goes to show you that the pastor doesn't always know everything that's going on with you. I just want you to know that. Pastor Jim and I don't always have the word from the Lord that of what's happening with you. You may think we do, but we don't. Now, if the Lord reveals it, he may. But it's not always the case. Thus, interesting point with Eli here. So listen up. So therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. And he went and confronted her. And Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? He wasn't forthright. He was pretty bold. Say, lady, what are you doing coming to church drunk like that? Put away your wine from you. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not your handmaid for a daughter of the devil. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hereto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant you your petition. Your petition that you've asked of him. Now, you know, sometimes I don't know for sure whether Eli heard God or just answered the woman. He was caught having accused her of something that was wrong, and then he turned around and blessed her. But you know what? God knew what he was doing. God knew what was happening. And he turned around and he told her, he said, God grant you the petition that you've asked of him. And she said, let your handmaid find grace in your sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. So she took the word of the Lord. You know, and whether Eli heard God or not, she took that word and she went home with it. And she took that word and she went home and said, amen. She cleaned up her face. She went and had dinner. And she, glory to God, it's done. Isn't that powerful? I mean, not depending on, I mean, God has men of God. But men of God mess up from time to time. They're like me. They mess up from time to time. Like Pastor Jim. He messes up from time to time. He might step off a roof. Amen. But you know what? God always hears your prayer. He always hears your cry. The girl who desired to be a mother. I mean, Peninnah already had a house full of kids. And Hannah wants this same blessing. So verse 19, and they rose up in the morning and early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And she'd been barren for a good while. Got back home. Boom. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked him of the Lord." And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice after his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said to her husband, "I will not go up until the child be weaned. And then I will bring him up, that he may appear before the Lord, and that there and abide there forever." And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems good to you good. Tarry until you have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word." So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bullocks, flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I have asked of him." See, I mean, you remember, he didn't even know what her petition was. Eli didn't even know what she'd asked. I'm just praying to the Lord. And Eli said to her, "What? Your petition be granted you." She gets home, her petition's granted. All of a sudden, a year later, or two or three years later, after the baby's weaned, all of a sudden she shows up with this boy and gives him to Eli. Say, here's a young man I've prayed for and I've given to the Lord. Now, what kind of a mom is that? To give son to the Lord, to give your son up to the Lord. You'd think, you got your first son. But then we find later that Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife, "And the Lord give you seed of this one for the loan which is led to the Lord." It's over in chapter 2, verse 20. And they went to their own home, and the Lord visited Hannah, so she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. So he had given her, and she had planted a seed by that son. And the Lord blessed her continually. I'm not telling you to give up your firstborn son. But I'm saying plant the seed of faith of whatever it is that the Lord's put on your heart, mother. I don't know what the outcome is going to be. All I know is that God is going to bless you. I don't know what your request is. All I know is the Lord is going to bless you. Back over in chapter 1, verse 27, "For this child I prayed," Hannah says to Samuel, or to Eli, "and the Lord has given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also have I lent him to the Lord. And as long as he lives, he shall be lended him to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. Eli worshiped the Lord there. Now I want to look at also chapter 2 in verse 1. If you'll remember in the book of Luke where Mary begins to pray, led by the Holy Spirit, after she goes to visit Elizabeth. And the Holy Spirit comes upon her with a prayer and an unction, a prophetic word And here is very interesting that Hannah has the same type of experience. This prayer is not coming out of Hannah's brains. This prayer is coming out of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of the Lord, listen, as you give your life over to Him and make your request made known unto Him, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. He'll bring to pass, He'll give you wisdom. We'll talk about that later. He'll give you wisdom. Talking about women growing up in the presence of the Lord today. Talk about, it's Mother's Day. And I want to encourage the moms and the to-be moms and the grandmothers that the Lord loves you and called you and put you in place. There's a government that is the family. We have government in church. We have government in cities. We have government in nations. But God created the first government. Remember, we talked first about Adam and Eve, between the husband and the wife. Not the husband over the wife, but the husband and a wife. God said, I'm going to make an help meet for Adam. A help prepared for him. So when God sets together a family, what He does is He sets together a governmental unit. Governmental in the sense that it is functional and operative to carry out a mission. Your family is not just to, have a daily family and have, eat and go to work and go to school and try to raise the kids and get them out the door. But a family is a demonstration of the gospel. A family is a unit to, is a self-sufficient unit to meet its own needs and to declare the gospel. The husband and the wife, if you look at Ephesians chapter 5, where it talks about that the family is a demonstration. The husband and the wife are, and the children are a demonstration of the goodness of God and the love of God to meet the needs of one another. Again, bringing back to this, your life in this world contingent upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ when He returns again. Your life from now until that time and your family from now until that time is not about getting by and getting through life the best you know how, but rather to be a demonstration of the kingdom of heaven. Again, that's why we're here. Not just you personally, individually, but you and your wife and your children. You and your husband and your children. To bring these things to pass. That's what that family is for. That's what that family is all about. And so that's what we're talking about today. That's what I'm talking about today, is even at this family then created the prophet, Samuel, who brought forth David, who brought forth Jesus. Your family is designed, women, to bring forth the gospel, to bring forth the kingdom of heaven. As you worship Him, you may have a husband that's a mess. Husbands, you may be married to a wife and a mom who's a mess, probably so. Most women are. Oh, well, that didn't went over like a red one. Thought I'd get a good one out of that. I wrote that one down. But listen, as you trust, you gotta trust God. You can't trust anybody else. It's better to put hope in God than to trust in men or women. You can't put trust in your wife, guys. You have to put trust in God. But God will then allow you to put trust in her. God will put it in you to trust her. Many men are just so busy guarding their stuff, making sure that nobody gets in it, wife, kids, anybody, We're so determined to guard our stuff, but God says, God teaches us how to release and to trust Him with all things. So this is an oddball family we've been talking about today. I want to read you though this prayer that Hannah prayed, moved by the Holy Spirit, as she delivered her son to Eli. And Hannah prayed, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies." Well, remember that, Penina? "Because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside you. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry have ceased. So that the barren is born seven, and she that has many children is waxed feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifts up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail." Wow. "The adversary of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." The Lord's going to do what he's planned to do. And he's going to bring you in on it. He's going to bring you as part of it. Let's look over at, I want to look over at Proverbs 31 for a moment. Proverbs 31 verse 10. Of course, he talks about the virtuous woman. And the very first line is suspect. Who can find a virtuous woman? Seems like that might be hard to find. Now, don't take that personally. Or go ahead. Who can find a virtuous woman? That's like who can find a righteous man. There is none righteous, none virtuous. But apparently, God can make his own. Girls, God can make his own. You're not one by yourself, but God can make you one. And he's going to do it. It's his plan. His plan is to make one. Because he's already got it all written out here. He's got the blueprint right here. So he's if you don't feel like you're a virtuous woman, God's going to change that. As you follow him, he will transform you. "For her price is far above rubies." Here's what I was talking about the husband. "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her." Well, guys, that's going to be a gift of God for you. For you to safely trust in her. She's not going to get your stuff. She's not going to take your portion. "The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings food from afar. While it is also yet night, Peg, you do this, right? Did Jim used to talk about that? You rise while it's night? Did he read this? Yeah, okay, that's what I thought. She rises also while it is yet night and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. She's a businesswoman. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She girds her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. That means she's got a gym membership. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her candle goes not out by night. She lays her hands to the spindle and her hands to the disc to hold the distaff. That's doing, building, making clothing. She stretches out her hand to the poor. She reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow, for her house, all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. So her husband is respected and honored. Really, it's because of her. And she makes fine linen and sells it and delivers girdles to the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Now listen to this. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looks well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but you excel them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. I want you to read the next line with respect to what we said at the very outset of this scripture. Who can find a virtuous woman? Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Where does virtue come from? The woman that fears the Lord. All of these gifts are not something that you produce and something you manufacture, you aspire to as a mom and a woman. But it's what the Lord works in you. Just like you can have no righteousness, you can have no goodness. The Lord does the work. He produces in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. So what I would pray for you and recommend for you is to seek the Lord and His righteousness and all these other things. Well, I wish I could be like that. I wish I could be like Penina. I wish I could have all them kids. I wish I could do all the things that she does. I wish I could do, I had all the things that girl has or that woman has. No. Seek the face of the Lord. Don't seek your own, what you should look like. Girls, don't seek what you should look like. Seek the face of the Lord. Wisdom will be in your mouth. All these other things will come to pass. And you don't measure them with a thermometer or with a cash register. You allow the Lord to call you through your children and your husband to call you blessed. He's moving on the inside of you. He's transforming you into His image. He loves you. His desire is to what? Work that in you which is well-pleasing in His sight. No matter if you're 15, 30, 50, 74, no more. And for the rest of us, Deuteronomy, one verse. Five, 16. Get on the right page. For the rest of us, honor your father and your mother. Equally. Not the one you like best. Maybe your mom was a mess. Honor your mom. We're going to do that one today. We'll do the other one next time. We'll do the other one on the Father's Day. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. I'm going to ask the mothers to stand. Mothers, grandmothers. Just lift our hands toward them. If you're around them, you can just lay your hands on somebody right close by. And I'm going to pray. Father, we honor our moms, grandmothers, this morning. Father, we ask you to minister to them greatly. We ask you to minister to them the fear of the Lord, so that they are at peace and at rest at the promise of God, even as Hannah was. She rose up, and her face was no more saddened. So we ask you today, Lord, to take away the sorrow. Father, those things that did not turn out or have not yet turned out, we ask you, Lord, to give peace and comfort. Father, where children are concerned, we ask you to bless the children and cause them to be drawn to the Lord as their mothers have prayed. And Father, we ask you for the husbands to minister to their wives and to bless them and to be heads over them in order to bless them and to fulfill them and to give them everything necessary to provide for the house. Father, we ask you to minister to these women today by your Spirit, that their mouths may be filled with wisdom and their hearts with rejoicing, that they may be comforted and filled with peace and joy unspeakable and full of glory as they seek your face day by day to know you and to see the virtue that you distribute, to be implanted and to be shown to be powerfully evident in their life, so that the children and her husband rise up and call her blessed and praise her. We give you the glory and the praise and the honor for it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Jim? Amen. Father, as we give today, we thank you that our giving is not out of burden or necessity, but because you love a cheerful giver. We thank you